Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for This Week in Mormons. Nice to have you here. Appreciate your time.
The best to have you here.
We're very happy to be here.
Jeff is in America.
Yeah, I have returned from the socialist disaster zone known as Scandinavia.
Oh, tell us of the atrocities.
Let me tell you about the welfare state.
Woo.
People there are happy.
Woo.
But they do tax cars like up the yin yang.
So that you'll ride your bike and be fit and happy.
Mm-hmm. Ride your bike, be fit. See, how can they be fit though? Because eating their food, there's a reason for one. Number one, there's a reason Danish food is not a popular world cuisine. Because, I mean, I know the greatest restaurant in the world, Noma, is in Copenhagen, but it's not that great. But also, they
wait. Did you eat it in Noma?
No, of course I didn't eat it in Noma. Noma has like a 3-month waiting list once a
year. I've never
even
heard of Noma. What is Noma?
It's a guy who has revolutionized Scandinavian Nordic cuisine.
Wait, so he cooks the fish before he gives it to you on a plane?
Something like that. It's very creative, apparently, and especially since El Bulli decided to close its doors, Noma is rated as the best restaurant in the world.
Where was El Bulli?
El Bulli was a restaurant in Catalonia, my beloved Catalonia, that was universally regarded in rankings as the best restaurant on this earth.
And why would they close?
They just didn't want to do it anymore.
They're like, we've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me.
It's like you quit Seinfeld, right, when it's peak.
I'm just the man cub.
Exactly. A funny thing that happened at Noma, though, when I was going back to Copenhagen last weekend, there was a big scare with them like serving contaminated food to their guests, and this all happened right when I was in Copenhagen. So I was there for Noma Gate.
Whoa.
It was great. Oh, it was...
Get you some.
I felt like I was really a part of the people. But I'm back in America, and it's wonderful. The land where you can buy a car for $20,000. This is America.
Oh, well, ain't that America.
In Denmark, if you want to buy a little four-door hatchback, like typical of you see in Europe, it's like $40,000.
No, I think that's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that?
I believe in a free America.
You want free cars, Jeff. Is that what you
want?
No,
I don't want free cars, but I don't want to be taxed 190% on a vehicle. I feel like that is excessive. But, you know, to each their own, it works for them, I guess. They have health care. And get this, vacation days in Denmark get rolled over. I learned this.
Huh.
Like, it's protected by the state. So when you earn your vacation at a job, if you get fired or quit or whatever, rather than what we have typically in America where you might get reimbursed, you know, for the vacation you've earned, for example, or nothing, who knows, anything you've earned just follows you to your next job. So if you had 3 weeks of vacation left, you just start with 3 weeks at your next place.
Dude, and...
It's interesting.
Yeah, I would hate to be an employer there, man. Hey,
it's very complicated. And of course, my employer is Danish. That's why I was there. And they have a heck of a time trying to figure out how to juggle those of us in the U.S. from just a legal standpoint. It's a lot of fun.
Well, because you don't get any of those perks.
No, we don't. They're living the dream there.
They really are.
They really are.
Well, I'm glad you're safe and you went to Sweden.
I went to see your ancestors. I walked around.
How was cousin Tomas?
I just yelled your last name, and oddly enough, nothing but Vietnamese people came up to me.
Yeah, no, you got to do the Swedish one, Nystrom.
Oh, okay.
But then everyone in that country will come up to you, Olsen or Nystrom.
Interesting thing about Malmo, though, very because it's become much more of a bedroom city for Copenhagen.
Is that like a swinger city? I don't know what that means.
No, it's become a lot of people, either Swedes or even Danes, live in Malmo and go across the Sound in Copenhagen.
It's a joke.
But also because Denmark has tighter immigration policy than Sweden, Malmo is like 20% Iraqi. And it felt very different walking around there. You could tell it's a big immigrant city. Very different from Copenhagen, which has immigrants, don't get me wrong. I mean, I ate shawarma, but still.
Was it scary? Were you scared?
I was never scared in Copenhagen. What? And if you talk to Danes and ask them where the bad part of Copenhagen is, they just laugh at you. Because there is none.
Oh.
It's like the perfect... It's utopia.
So it's like Utah.
Exactly like Utah.
What?
And as luck would have it, they serve fry sauce and onion rings everywhere.
Woo! My mind is blown right now.
But I made
That's
it
not
home.
True. I've been there. They don't have fry sauce.
No, they don't. They don't have fry sauce. They don't. I made it home. It was, and I'm actually glad I got out when I did. Did you see those storms that came through Europe? If I would have flown out like a day later, I probably would have been grounded.
Jeff,
anywhere.
I would have no idea if there were storms in Utah because I don't open my windows.
Well,
let alone in Europe. Who watches the weather that closely?
Well, when you're on Pope Watch, you're just aware of everything that's going on. And since The Bachelor is over, I have been riveted to Pope Watch. That's all I have.
What channel's that on?
And a wife. But Pope Watch? Any news outlet?
Oxygen? Is it on?
I think Oxygen has it. Lifetime will soon have the Made for Lifetime movie. It'll be what would be a good name for it? Like Eating the Wafer. The story of Pope Benedict.
Eating the wafer would be great.
That's all I can come up with. I'm not good at Catholicisms. I mean, come on.
Catholicisms.
Don't ask me to come up with. I might have served a mission in a Catholic country, but I don't know things.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm glad to be back in America.
Yeah, good.
I missed it.
Good. Good to have you.
Then how are you doing, though? It's nice to.
I'm good.
Nice
I'm my roommate gets married this weekend, and so I'm flying.
Yes!
I'm flying down to San Diego to go to another wedding. That'll be fun. And I'm kicked out of my house because of that. So I'm on. I'm packing it up. She's moving in here. They're keeping the house. But I got all the friends out of the deal. So not a bad breakup.
Well, I mean, it's understandable. Would you want to have to rebuild that home theater system?
No.
Elsewhere?
No. And the hot tub.
Did you guys ever fix the hot tub?
It comes and goes.
Okay.
Who's to say?
Yeah, but that sucks that you have to leave. You're just kind of kicked out. But rent in Utah is so cheap. It's just so cheap.
It is. I'm looking for a basement apartment, something with no roommates or something like that. If you know of anything, dear listeners, email us.
Don't they have like KSL?
They probably do, but Jeff, you know me. I'm too lazy for these things. I use a network. I crowdsource this and people find it for me.
I do know you are too lazy. If you recall a few years ago, you and I were both contemplating a joint move to Utah to just be roommates.
Yep.
But I was the only one ever looking for apartments.
And I expected you to find one, and you never did.
I never did. Well, it's because I was still planning on D.C., and Utah would have been like a pit stop. It was very complicated.
It was weird.
Life is hard.
And so here I am. I've been here like over a year now. That's crazy. I've been here over a year. So the plan, I think I'll take a few weeks off, go travel a little bit, take my laptop, and get out of town.
All right. Just don't forget your microphone.
Yes, sir.
And come hang out in D.C. If you're traveling.
We're flying into L.A., though, and the guy that I'm going with one of my good buddies from out here, he wants to go to Disneyland.
Yes, go with him. You'll be so happy.
I was like, we are grown men with no children. We cannot do this.
This could be a terrible time to go, though, because spring break stuff kicks in, and you don't want to be there during that.
Woo!
That's not fun.
Good call.
Especially you with a very low tolerance for things that make people happy.
Yep.
I find that you would be very annoyed by lines.
Well, so in preparation, like though, I shaved my beard so that I could go to Disneyland without the creepy beard. I'm pretty
now,
sure
I'm the only guy
that looks creepier without a beard than with a
you
beard.
You do. Why would you shave it? Because employees can't have beards there, but you're, as a patron, you were allowed to have a beard.
No, Jeff, no one's going to tell me I can't have a beard, but I just thought, you know, you have those moments where you're staring at the mirror and like you've had a beard for 2 years and you're like, huh.
It's just like the temple. You can't have one if you're a worker, but you can go and have a beard. And Disneyland is like unto the temple.
I don't care for Disneyland nearly as much as all you other people. Why do you guys love it so much?
Well, first off, it's called the Holy Spirit. And
it's such a ripoff. Oh, it's such a ripoff.
Well, I'm gonna agree with you there. I'm never gonna pretend it's like a great value on the dollar, but
anywho.
I don't know what it's like to be a tourist going there. Growing up going there is a whole different game. So, you know, many of your points are valid. Because if I had to come from as an outsider, be like, you want me to pay for a hotel and do all this? I mean, I grew up just going there nonchalantly for a couple hours.
Yeah, you'd have a season pass.
Yeah, because they were cheap when I was young. Oy.
Anywho.
Be like $60 and you're in for the year. Why would you not want to do that?
I want to do that.
It was brilliant. But I'm glad. I hope that you go to Disneyland. I hope they make you wait in line to go on the Radiator Springs Racers. And I hope that you complain the entire time.
No, I'm gonna feign being too tall for the ride, and then they'll give me like a big guy pass and be like, sorry, you had a crummy experience on our ride. Here's I've a got fast another, pass.
Another good idea, and they've gotten smarter with this with newer rides. Fake an injury, and if you want to cough up the money for a wheelchair, you can cut through the lines and go through the exit to go on most rides. It's very good.
Man, I just could never do that. But I'll pretend like I could, and then when push comes to shove.
I'm saying if you don't want to wait in lines, I'm just trying.
Well, I don't like even faking the too tall and getting a pass. I just couldn't do it.
All right. Well, don't be too bummed out. Big Thunder is shut down until October, so I know
they shut your mom down. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
This show is dedicated to you, Mom.
Big Thunder shut down. We got the name of the show. Boom.
You know, if I said these things about your dear mother, you would come at me with a hatchet.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
You know, I mean, your mother is a lovely woman.
Yeah.
I'm a huge supporter.
Your mom, too. I support your mom.
Good. Glad to hear that.
You know I do. Okay, so we got Mormon stuff. We got stuff.
Not just Mormon stuff. So we have a new pope. Very exciting stuff.
Pope Francis, right?
Pope Francis from Argentina. Obviously, this is more of interest to Mormons than anything else. But so we have a new pope. He's the first South American.
What do we think Rock about on. This? How, who, was he even in the running? Did we see him coming?
He actually finished second in 2005.
Oh, so he was just like, he was the vice pope.
Basically, he's been, yeah, it's like the old days with the U.S. Constitution when the runner-up became vice president. No, it's not quite that. Which is what it used to be, actually, if you can imagine that. But he came in second place, narrowly losing to Joseph Ratzinger. But now he gets his own. He'll be the man.
He won.
Go Pope Francis the First.
So what'll he do? What's his platform?
I don't know if he has one yet. He's noted for being a very austere fellow. Like in Buenos Aires, he takes the bus around.
Really?
As a cardinal.
No Mercedes.
So the question is, he might try to bring the papacy down to earth a little bit and get away from some of the glamour and the pomp associated with it.
The glint and glim.
Could you imagine a similar thing? Like, I'm already picturing a meme of Thomas S. Monson standing and leaning out of a window in the temple to screaming crowds in Temple Square. No.
No, I can totally imagine it because, if you've been to conference, that's pretty much what it's like, except fewer sightings of the prophet.
Yeah, also, he doesn't stand on a window above
if he got to the If he went to the top of the conference center and stood there, you know there would just be throngs of people.
It's true, but then I'd be angry, like, why can't we go in the garden?
Our mentality would be the exact same.
Well, yeah, if he actually stood up there and started, like, talking
waving,
to us.
Just a wave, and then then he'd wiggle his ears, wink at you.
But the thing is, we have no succession drama anymore.
No,
I mean, when President Monson passes away, which we're not eager for, but whenever that happens, based on whoever is alive in the 12 and who's the president, we know what's going to happen. It's not, you know, we don't all get to, not everyone comes to Salt Lake City in pilgrimage and wonders.
Tom Perry gets a bump set.
You know, and suddenly you see purple smoke come out of the chimney of the administration
Let's
building.
Put Quentin up. We should just start a campaign to start voting.
Yes. Let's do it.
That might be less effective, but I think that would be entertaining, especially if all of a sudden the church office gets an onslaught of votes for Quentin L. Cook for profit. Quentin for profit.
Well, I'm still pushing, like I talked about, I think last week, for a program just like the White House, where if we sign a petition about things and it gets to Salt Lake, if it has so many signatures, it requires a response.
Well, yeah, that's what they're trying to do with these women's pants and praying in general conference stuff.
Yeah, but see, those are foolish. Those are not winning.
Well, no, but that's the idea. Is they're like, if we sign enough, if we get 100,000 signatures, surely the Lord will say yes.
Yeah, but they're not thinking straight. Pushing for Quentin to become the boss is serious.
That's a real deal.
That's a crowd pleaser. I when I think of Quentin L. Cook, I think of populism. And so I feel good about this.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
So that was fun. So we have a new pope. So congratulations, our Catholic brothers and sisters. We're glad that your leadership was chosen from by the Lord or something. And that it's not a contest with votes.
And so it's such a weird, like, I wonder how they feel about it now as it's gone on and on. I mean, is that just like, are all the cardinals inspired to do this thing? Is that how it goes?
It is funny watching the news coverage before they announced it, because there's so much speculation and they talk about it as if it's just a political race. All this, I mean, exactly saying this guy finished second in 2005. You know, he was just shy of being elected the Pope. And they talk about the, you know, should it be from the developing world to show where that's where the growth is? Should it be a Filipino or an African to really demonstrate that the church is going forward? It's just funny to think about all that. And I think even as Mormons, we, not up at the top, but we're prone to wanting to do things like that at the same time. You know, we want to cast a wider net and be more appealing across the board in one way or another. And if we can achieve that through competent leadership, that's a bonus, right?
But I think so.
I mean, it's 'cause the same goes for us. We have a German in the first presidency, and we've had some English fellows. I can hear you typing.
Why do we not have like, do you think there's anything in there where they're like, we should get a Latino represented on here?
It makes me wonder. I mean, I think, I don't imagine that they're actually thinking, I can't imagine from like a PR and expediency standpoint, like there would be great intrinsic value in having more Latino ones. But if you notice in the 70, I think as the church has grown, really, we've seen that we have far more Latino men in the 70 and Africans, and we have guys from Asia and stuff. But I think it just reflects the actual growth of the church.
I bet it never comes up, but I'm sure it's something that is like thought about.
Yeah, how could it not be?
Interesting. Interesting.
I mean, I don't think there's ever been a Latino member of the 12. And so that's what makes it is interesting to think about if they, because we go to the Lord with things that we've come up with to get it approved by him. So I don't think it's outlandish to say, hey, we've thought that Elder Gutierrez would be wonderful. Does this pass? You know, is this okay? Because that could, you know, we've got a lot of growth in Latin America. Why not have someone in this 12?
Amen, brother. Amen.
There it is.
What it is, people.
Done and done.
The one thing that I do like about Catholicism is all
the the one thing.
Well, because I mean, I don't know. A lot of that stuff rubs me. But like, it's cool that they have such. It's like the British monarchy, where I mean, there's just so much pomp and circumstance that goes around it. I feel about this the same way I felt about the royal wedding, where I'm just like, ooh, I want to watch. Does that make sense? That's kind of where I am with that.
So just to be on the record, the one thing that you like about Catholicism is that the election of a new pope is on par with the royal wedding of Prince William.
I feel like that's fair.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood you.
Yeah, no, I'm all like right. Glenn Beck. I choose my words carefully and concisely.
Okay.
You know me, Jeff.
You think before you speak. I know this.
That's right. So, in Mormon news, a couple of good ones out there. Today, or let's see, a couple of days ago, yesterday, day before.
I don't know.
The BYU, turns out, is ranked the fourth most stress-inducing school in the country.
Yep.
Jeff, you went to BYU.
I did.
I went to BYU for a semester.
Yeah, I know. You went to BYU Hawaii, so you were just like high.
And then a lot of BYU
years.
Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're saying that the contributors to stress, one is like you have the standard or the honor code, which has all this stuff that you have to worry about and whether or not you're staying out too late or if your shorts are low enough and blah, blah, blah. And then on top of that, there's this expectation to do perfectly in your classes and perform. Did you get much of a sense of that? Was BYU an exceptionally stressful school for you, Jeff?
For me, no, but that's because I'm a genius. But for regular people, I can imagine.
The idea is you're
be.
Supposed to get married and be successful in a relationship.
That's true. That's true. I feel like socially, I think there's more pressure to be successful. But there was a lot of competition. And it is a good school with high academic standing. And of course, there's pressure to do that. You know, this article, these findings from College Magazine argue that, yeah, because of stuff, the honor code, because of not drinking and no coffee and this and that, that those are the things that typically students elsewhere lean on to kind of have a sort of release or extra energy or anything like
now,
that.
Now, if I may, BYU Hawaii was still, I felt like, very academically fulfilling. As I mean, you can choose cheap classes that get you through with almost doing nothing, or you can choose exceptional teachers and professors and get like a world-class education. And so, phenomenal, but there was the beach, literally 38 seconds away from my house, and you could just run to it, and then you can frolic in the ocean. I felt like it was a great balance.
More importantly, the Hukilau Cafe.
The Hukilau Cafe, absolutely. With the banana pancake or the King Hawaiian French bread for the French toast, or the King Hawaiian bread for the French toast. Mm.
That's it. Let's go back.
Just a treat. I would rank BYU Hawaii, while it is the number one surfing school in the nation, probably I would say maybe not even in the top 10 for the most stressful. Maybe
no,
Purdue Boilermakers and Xavier would be above it. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there.
Yeah, I don't think it's as stressful. So I think BYU can be a bit of a high-strung place in some ways. I mean, Mormons aren't – we're known for being strange, but I don't think that we're known for being particularly chill.
They do that to themselves, though. I mean, people are so weird.
Yeah, oftentimes. I mean, not to rail on Mitt Romney, but if you look at him and the way he acts, that's very – a lot of that's very BYU, very Provo BYU culture, right?
Right.
Like trying to – you know, so – I can understand it. I mean, fourth most stressful in the country is that's pretty tough company. More stressful than Harvard.
No, I don't believe that.
Why not?
I believe maybe more whiny than Harvard. Maybe these people, I mean, they're expecting a BYU Idaho, and then they actually have to work hard, and then they're like, whoa, this is crazy. And the people that go to Harvard are like, I'm expecting a difficult school. That was right on par with what I was thinking. I'll give that an average.
By the way, though, just so we know, the schools that beat BYU, Cornell, most stressful the country, followed by the United States West Point, okay, and then MIT, and then BYU. After BYU is Harvard. After BYU.
What a bunch of whiners.
I believe this is true because I've seen The Social Network, and all they do is drink and code. And I think that's less
stressful. That is true. I've seen that, too. Good call.
Thank you. It's true to life. Other things that have been going on, we, of course, spoke a little bit about church development elsewhere, abroad, and how that plays into things. And very interestingly, this past week, President Uchtdorf openly sided with Obama, representing the church in an official capacity. Okay? This is not Dieter writing a book that's on sale somewhere. This is President Uchtdorf representing the church in Washington. And he, along with 13 other faith leaders, met with President Obama on Friday and supported the president's agenda for immigration reform. So I think it's pretty interesting, actually, that we've kind of stuck our neck out there on this.
I'm pretty sure the German translation thing just didn't come through right, because there's no way this is real.
This is real.
This could not actually happen.
This did happen. This makes sense, actually. We've talked about in the past how a lot of Obama's immigration plans very much go along what Utah has pushed forward, especially the Utah Compact, which hasn't been completely successful in passing. But Obama's modeled his stuff after a lot of what's happened in Utah. So it only makes sense that the church would support it because the church supported the Utah Compact. So I think that this works. And the actual phrase was that Obama's plan matches LDS values, which is very interesting. And, of course, President Uchtdorf himself is an immigrant. So, you know.
He's an American now?
I guess he is. I'd always wondered if he was here on a visa, but he is a naturalized U.S. citizen. I think he has been for some time.
Like 5 years?
Yeah. How long has he been in the 12? Let's see. No, probably longer than that. But I think this is pretty interesting, though, that the church has actually been that, like, openly, hey, I don't think they're saying we're going to work with you, President Obama.
Did you
Obama
say the church was openly hey?
The church was openly hey. We came out of the armoire.
You know that's Ukrainian for gay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Good.
No, right. Isn't that Russian for gay? No, that's Ukrainian for gay.
Hey.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, I just think it's very, very interesting that the church is stressing more of the compassionate side of this issue. I think still arguing that there has to be something sensible done, that we can't just give people a free pass, but compassion.
I like that we can agree on something. I feel like that's a refreshing little bit of DC for you. Turns out we don't just have to be contrarian people. We can agree.
We can agree. Of course, the bigger news.
Yeah.
There we are. The church loves Obama.
In the world of Hardy Boys, we bring you gift-wrapped human skulls found near Mormon churches in Brazil.
Oh, my goodness. What happened?
So this screams of, like, the hidden skull mystery of the Hardy Boys era or something.
Now, for a little background, Al has every Hardy Boys
in the
bookcase.
I'm a huge fan. I collect them. I have the whole 1972 to 79 series. I'm a big fan of the Hardy Boys. But they have no idea what's going on with this. People are just leaving gift-wrapped human skulls near Mormon churches in Brazil.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're leaving them in a handful of places. But it's been particularly either consulates or Mormon churches, not other churches, but ours. And it's not even, this has been mostly in Brazil, but this has also happened in Russia, the Czech Republic, and South Africa.
They have security cameras that are capturing a woman in an ankle-length skirt, so maybe a polygamist, leaving the skulls just there. And so it's some random woman doing this. They think maybe it's a ritual of a cult thing or something.
So weird.
Maybe this is the Catholic Pope thing. This is what happens when the Pope resigns.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah.
Is that what Benedict is doing now?
No, I think that's a thing because, so rarely does it happen. We forget that means you have to leave human heads on Mormon churches.
It happens. You gotta show them what's up. Say hey.
But
don't forget.
How great is this? This is like,
it's great, Al.
Call Frank and Joe. Let's get Chet get Chet in there with his old jalopy, and let's go solve this mystery, boys. I love it. Anyway.
On a more serious note, this comes from BuzzFeed.
Take us down.
This comes from BuzzFeed.
Oh, my gross.
And I know. And this BuzzFeed ran an article basically looking at Craigslist personals in Provo. And it is an interesting, interesting thing. And the BuzzFeed article says, these Mormon students at BYU are looking for hot gay sex. Now, of course, it's BuzzFeed, so they try to make it, you know, funny or something like that. But I think it is actually very interesting that it shows screenshots of Craigslist postings, but people who say, I am a BYU student looking for a discreet blank, right?
The men for men section of Craigslist. How was BuzzFeed the first people to think to look there?
Probably because McKay Coppins was, you know.
Dang you, McKay!
That one was too easy. It was just too easy.
Just lobbing them out there.
But yeah, that was a soft pitch.
First, awful. Like this wouldn't be okay if it was a men for women BYU. Actually, I wonder, is there one of those for BYU?
I'm sure there is. See, this is what was missing. This is why BYU is so high strung. Everyone's going on Craigslist to try to get some.
Are we though? Let's see. Personals.
Honestly, I think
women.
I do think going back to the most stressful school thing, I also think that adds to it. It's wonderful that we strive to keep the law of chastity. But inevitably, you have people that are more hormonally wound up, and that also doesn't help with stress levels in general.
So the first entry on the women seeking men personals for Provo. Hey, so I don't have any plans tonight. I was thinking a good cuddle and makeout would be nice. No sex. I'm 5'7". Oh, my gosh. People. You big bunch of dorks.
Where was Craigslist when you were there, Al? It could have been just so good for you.
Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
You know what we should look at? I'm going to look at them right now. Missed connections. Those are probably going to be fabulous for Provo, of all places. What?
I was at Walmart.
Missed connections are, okay, Sydney at the Texas Roadhouse. You are absolutely gorgeous. I wanted to say something, but I didn't get the chance. Cafe Rio at lunchtime. I came in to pick up my lunch today, and when I looked up, you were over in the line paying for lunch and smiling at me. I smiled back and then paid for my lunch. I looked up and we smiled at each other again. I doubt you will see this, but would live a chance to talk to you. It's all food related. Front counter, sweetest neighbor in Orem. Orem, I still love you.
We're on a tangent. All right. Well, clearly the men seeking men section is a little more steamy than these, but
On, are you sure I can't read I still love you? Because this one's pretty awesome.
Give it to me, Jeff.
A little bit longer, but worth it. You opened it. Good luck. Tonight at midnight, your true love will realize they miss you. Something good will happen to you between 1 p.m. and 4:40 p.m. tomorrow. It could be anywhere.
This is so stupid.
Tonight at midnight, they will remember how much they loved you. You will get the shock of a lifetime. They still love you.
Oh, this is awful.
Amanda at Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, we're done. We're done. Oh, I went to Buffalo Wild Wings. So my roommate, we had his bachelor party, and we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and they looked at us and said, "Why are you here? Why would you bring a bachelor party here?" And then there was this poor girl that was, her job was like a customer service rep. Her job was to go around and make sure everybody's having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't have anything else going on, so she just stood over our table. She didn't say, like she said, her little intro thing, and then just stood there watching us talk. It was so awkward. Oh, it was awful.
Buffalo Wild Wings is very strange. I haven't been there for almost a year because I had such a rotten customer service experience the last time I went there.
I expect great. I mean, wings and root beer is not that hard to pull off.
But the wings are good, but they're a terrible value.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get decent wings for, you know, 60% less elsewhere.
Well, sure.
Easily. So back to the main point of this, there's a lot of gay love happening in Provo.
I don't know why this. Why do we think this is news? Why do we? Well,
it's just. I guess. I honestly, it's something I never thought about. I think about, obviously, there is a gay subculture at BYU. A lot of people who are struggling with stuff like that. But I never popped in my mind that the Craigslist hooking up that people do everywhere else would also be going on there. It makes sense to me now, but.
And again, I mean, well, so we talked about this. Like, I remember thinking about this while I'm in school. But if you know you're gay, why would you choose Provo?
Well, I think these are more complicated issues than we can address in a brief time. Why wouldn't you? Because a lot of these people struggle with this, but they're still. When you're Mormon, being culturally Mormon is another huge serious draw. You know, like you still want to be among your people, even if you're struggling to adhere to everything.
I think I'm just like, I'm less fanatical about our church schools than most, maybe.
Well, I know. That's why you wrote a post lambasting them.
I know. But, I mean, it just seems, I mean, it just feels like a crummy mix for these people that are looking for man love or woman love, respectively. And then having to like, I don't know. You're tiptoeing around this whole other set of norms and issues. Maybe it's a bigger deal than we. I mean, maybe it's like porn at BYU. Maybe it's a way bigger deal than anybody gives credit for.
Provo Mall, male for women. Saw you at the play area today at the mall with your kid. I was with mine. You had your hubby shopping in stores. We talked about our kids. You are stunning
stop.
And gorgeous.
This is an adulterous relationship thing.
I know. What's even the game there? Like, hey, you're stunning and you're with your husband. You're looking for a little something?
I'm so jealous of your husband.
The lesson here, people, is
don't go on Craigslist.
Yeah, malfeasance exists no matter how.
Do not go on Craigslist.
It is the Lord's University. Doesn't matter.
So, let's see. We had a couple of random YouTube videos come through this week.
We did have a few come through this week, yeah.
The athletes going on mission one. That was the church did a spot on the. Or were they Lehigh or? Hold on, let me get it again.
I wasn't. Yeah, I was. You were more up on that one than I was.
Oh, the Lone Peak High School kids, which is all of BYU's starting team in 2015. They won the championship this year for the high school boys championship, but then it just showed a good chunk of them are all going on missions this next year, and they did interviews with them all. I mean, it was just kind of cool to see an entire team like migrating into the mission field like that.
So, yeah, I've read some numbers this week that they think the mission totals, there could be 80,000 missionaries out.
Oh my gosh. Soon.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome.
I'm interested to hear the report on it because, lest we forget, General Conference is in only about four weeks? 3.5 weeks or something?
Yeah.
Coming up already again. And we get the annual report, so. That'll be fun to find out.
Stay tuned for that, kids.
Also, the other video, which I found pretty amusing, a guy was, This is a pretty good best friend. This is a pretty solid prank. His friend received his mission call. So this guy steamed open the mission call and took it out and then slipped in a fake mission call and sealed everything back up.
That is an awful prank.
And he did a good enough job that nobody noticed. So he sat there. He's clearly a very good friend of him and of the guy's family because he was there with everybody else for the opening of the call. And when this guy opens his call and reads through it like any other call, it says that he is called to the Antarctica mission. And he's super confused because his family's like, is this a joke? And he passes it around. He's like, no, it says it right here. And the whole family's just bewildered. Like, we have missionaries in Antarctica?
What language would you speak?
And then the language was great. And then he's like, that was great. He's like, he's going to be speaking the Emperor Penguin language. And that's when everyone's like, what? And then it kind of gave it away. And apparently he's going to Montreal. But that's a pretty good prank, though, I think. That was well done.
How awful would that be, though? You open it up, and then you're like, wait, am I really going to Des Moines? Is this for real? Because maybe not. It's a joke. Am I being punked right now? Ashton, where you at, Ashton?
He's everywhere. But I thought that was a good video. That was pretty amusing.
Were you not entertained?
Al, I had an odd question for you.
Yes, go for Al.
For your opinion. Now, for some background, I was watching The Bachelor finale.
Of course you were.
Of course I was. I genuinely enjoy it. I mean, I watch it with my wife, but I feel like I got her into it, not the other way around. So anyway, they decided that they're going to get married. And the host, Chris Harrison, who has the best job in television, I might add, mentions that he's ordained in one way or another and offers to marry them there on the spot.
Did they get married there on the spot?
No, they declined. But it made me think. I'm like, well, this guy's some news guy. How is he... In what way is he ordained? And then I thought, can I be ordained? I know if I were a bishop, sure. If I were a judge, sure. But can I be ordained in other ways to perform civil ceremonies that don't, in a way that doesn't conflict with my, you know, whole like temple going, priesthood holding Mormondom?
Yeah, I believe you can.
Can I though? Because it makes you a minister, quote unquote. And if I'm a minister, does that mean I am espousing another belief system? I don't know.
How to become...
This is totally not necessary because I'm not going to do it. Maybe I should do it. I can walk around and be like, who wants to get married? I represent the state. What's up? This is not an issue per se.
Well, no, it's but just... I mean, I'm thinking about this because a licensed minister... I guess once you're a licensed minister, are you always a licensed minister? Is that how it works?
I don't know. But the thing
is, how does Chris guy get it?
I don't know. I don't know how. I never knew this about Chris Harrison until he mentioned it. I don't talk to the guy. I don't know.
I think you just get licensed, right? You can go down to the city hall and get licensed to perform marriages, can't you?
Probably. I might have to do this. I feel like I want to perform marriages.
You should. I feel like you would give a good speech.
I'll put it up on Craigslist at BYU and I'll say, hey, are you not able to go to the temple for your wedding? But too embarrassed to go to your bishop?
No questions asked.
For $50, I will take care of this for you.
Discreetly and quickly. I like it.
Like, I'll take care of all the paperwork. I will bring my buddy down as a witness.
You've been wondering how TWIM is supposed to make money. Well, this is how.
Oh, this is the way to monetize. TWIM weddings.
I've figured out a way to make money while I'm working.
And now our Pinterest page can have a purpose. We can just post wedding stuff like everybody else.
Shoes and dresses.
And food, mind you. Beautiful TWIM. Food with fondant covered cakes.
Wonderful. I like it.
Oh, this is great. Monetization finally happening for us.
Well, because we could be a notary. We could.
Al, if we both do it, usually for a wedding, traditionally you might have two witnesses, but legally they typically just
need
one.
What if there were two ministers?
That's what I mean.
And
typically
we did it Beastie Boys style where every other word was the other one of us.
Well, is that Beastie? I feel like Beastie is more you all shout the whatever falls on beat four. So be like, you are here to be married today. You are going to roll in the hay. You are
we could do that. We could do that. Yeah. Either way, I'd be happy to be a part of it with you.
Okay, so we both get ordained, and then we'll alternate where one can wed, one can be a witness. Perfect.
Really good ideas.
It's our new business. Why are you selling quilts? This is perfect.
I made a huge mistake. Let's see. So we talked last week about the King James Version of the Bible and why we questioned, why are we still using this, people?
Al questioned why we are
still using this. I questioned, why are we still using this? And we've got some interesting feedback. Some via email, some via personal interaction where people said, I love the King James Version. It's the best. But our good man, Mr. Brooks, sent an email and said, the King James Version
Dougie.
Is the bomb diggity. What'd you say, Jeff?
Yeah.
So.
I'm with you.
The King James Version is the bomb diggity. He says that he loves the King James Version and that we're silly to suggest anything other than the King James Version of the Bible.
Well, not just that. He supports it with actual, you know, evidence.
Well, yeah.
Which you don't do, Al. So, it's kind of hard to refute what old Douglas has to say here.
Let's see. So, the things that it brings up, right, are that it was kind of a more honest translation than what we have in some of the newer stuff where it's trying to be more academic.
More populist.
The language expertise of Greek and those folks back in the day were much more proficient. And Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Torah and such. So
that's something to consider. You've got Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. You've got a lot of languages that we need to stick to the
pure
original
translation. Well, he's suggesting that it was better understood, and that's why it's a better translation, because the meaning was more well-preserved.
Exactly. Al, let me ask you, what language did Christ speak?
Christ spoke Aramaic, if I remember correctly.
You are correct. Okay, that was trivia.
Jeff, don't trivia me on Jesus. This is my game.
What was that thing you put on our Facebook wall that I posted when you said, can you something Jesus? I don't remember what it was.
I don't know either. Seems nice.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah. I mean... That's one way of looking at it. The way that I look at it, though, is we are like, I like the more academic approach. I like the idea that we now can study it and get like 1,000 different translations and give a percentage of which word is used the most, and then say maybe that's what it's supposed to be, because we have 1,000 little monks doing it instead of just the couple that worked on the King James Version.
Or you could try to have the people who are inspired. I feel like that's better than having academics.
Oh.
If academics had their way, there'd be no Book of Abraham, okay?
Oh, you want your inspiration.
I want my scripture.
I felt like we were going a different direction with that.
Did you think I was going to do a little temple quote?
I thought you were. I didn't know.
No. I knew you thought I was, so I tried to assuage your fears.
I was assuaged. Thank you.
Don't worry.
Thank you for assuaging me.
I would love to swaz you.
You do often. Also, in big news,
on Craigslist,
a 35-year-old.
This is huge.
This is crazy. Is called to a high rank. What is the high ranking position? She's not in the Relief Society presidency, but she's
the Relief Society board.
She's on the Relief Society board. A 35-year-old woman, Lorraine. Let's see. No, it's Melinda Barlow, or formerly Barlow. Now she's somebody else.
Yeah. Nay Barlow.
But she's been called to the board. So that's kind of cool. Get a young woman. Not young. I mean, that's 35.
That's still pretty young, buddy.
How is that still pretty young? I've seen 35-year-old women.
I've dated 35-year-old women.
You've dated 35-year-old women?
Yeah, what's it to you, punk?
Have you really?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess that's not terribly old. I'm 30. But still.
Exactly. But once you start thinking about,
she's wearing pantsuits and blazers. That's all I'm saying. She's not like in touch with the hipster 20-year-olds.
No, but that could be a good thing.
What if we had a hipster 20-year-old in there?
What if the General Relief Society president was a hipster?
What? Yeah. Openshaw. Well, so yeah. I mean, it's been an exciting time. Good things.
Yeah. Oh, another article here. We're not done yet.
Oh, we're not?
No. Clayton Christensen wrote an interesting article in the Washington Post called How to Pick a Pope or Any Church Leader, talking about some of the things they need to do. Now, I feel like the things he suggests are fine. It's really about following the Spirit and looking at the needs of the saints. But what I love is throughout this, he sort of peppered in random bits of Mormon doctrine without highlighting them as Mormon doctrine.
That's our Christensen, man.
Like, he goes out of his way to quote Amos 8, 11 through 12, which is the famous one about the famine. You know,
they'll search from east to west. Yeah. Yep.
They'll go to and fro. He just throws that in there casually. He talks about great reformers and religious people. He said glimpses of light began to appear when William Tyndale, Martin Luther, Roger Williams, and Joseph Smith began to ask questions of God. The more important thing is I like how very smoothly he worked in bits of churchiness into a post that's supposed to appeal to everyone else.
Roger Williams and Joseph Smith began to ask questions of God. Way to go, Clayton.
Like that was good. And also, to bring it full circle on everything we started with, the Pope's job was listed on LinkedIn. It's been pulled down, but we still found it.
I love how much you love this.
It's really funny. It's like any other LinkedIn job, but it says Pope, location Vatican, Vatican City State, Holy See.
This is a great opportunity for any executive professional seeking that next big challenge in their life.
As Supreme Pontiff, you will be the head of state for Vatican City and God's divine representative on earth. Infallibility and strong problem-solving skills are a must. Just, it's humorous. I'm sorry. It's funny.
Yeah, I was entertained.
And I like that it doesn't totally cross the line. Some people made comments that would cross the line a bit more. Like, it didn't say stuff like, must be great at covering up sexual abuse scandals or anything like that. People said that. But I like the post itself. I thought was, just generally speaking, pretty funny.
He didn't say that, but other people, his
other
friends
people
did.
No, like it says, you'll get generous fringe benefits, including our Pope Mobile company car, a private jet, an annual pass to the Sistine Chapel. However, be expected to work Sundays.
Are ye not entertained?
So that's all. I just thought it was funny. I'm sorry.
Anyway, good work, people. We had fun.
Good job, Internet.
So come talk to us. I hope you'll come chat sometime.
How do they do it, Al?
Go to thisweekinmormons.com. Leave us a comment. We'd love to talk to you.
Or send us an email like Douglas did at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We might read your mail on the air.
We might. Maybe not, though.
That depends.
Also Facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
And thisweekinmormons.com for all your Mormon needs. Please subscribe to these podcasts in iTunes or with your reader, whatever it may be. And get in there. And also keep your eye out for Sunday School Bonanza, where we get you ready for gospel doctrine every Sunday.
Coming at you, people. All right, Jeff, have a great week, man.
Got to catch them all. You have fun in San Diego, my friend.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go off, and Pikachu and I are going to read a good book.
I love what you do. All right, see you, man.
Thank you. See you, buddy. Thanks for listening to This Week in Mormons, everyone. We definitely appreciate you taking the time to do so, and hope you find enjoyment in this. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. Until then, may you be well.
First time I saw you, oh, you looked so fine, and I had a feeling one day you'd be mine. Honey, you came along and captured my baby, could this be